October 24th, 2023, Audit and Regular Town Board Meeting.
All right, I'd like to welcome everyone to the month-end audit meeting for the town of Monroe. And I believe we will take attendance now.
Councilmember Stewart?
Here.
Councilmember Noonan?
Here.
Councilmember Van Tassel?
Here.
Councilmember Donahue?
Here.
And Supervisor Kuzniers?
Here. And I think we have nearly all the signatures that we need. And we do have a few vouchers for discussion. The first one is in relation to the Adirondack Waterworks Conference. One of our employees attended the Adirondack Waterworks Conference where it cost $70. And even though this is under the department head's threshold for approval, we do have resolution stating that attendance at conferences must be approved by the town board. So I entertain a motion to reimburse the Adirondack Waterworks Conference in the amount of $70.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Sign that. The next one is we have an individual who had requested and paid for a water service on her property, and she paid for it, but now she has changed her mind and she's looking for a refund of that amount. And it has been signed off on by our water superintendent, Mike Mooney. So I would entertain a motion to refund Jean Sumner from Southlands Falls, who resides at 204 Bluebird Road, an amount of $2,375.
Second.
Any discussion? So I'm just...
We didn't do any of the work?
We didn't do any of the work.
Oh, okay.
We did nothing, she wants to have somebody privately do it.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Any other discussion? Not all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Agenda item three is in relation to a voucher from Turf Management Company Incorporated out of Glens Falls, New York. And as the board knows, we have a threshold of $1,000 for that department heads can authorize expenditures on without town board approval. This exceeded it by $495. So I'd entertain a motion to pay Turf Management Company Incorporated $1,495. So,
second.
Any discussion? Not all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Fourth item for discussion is a voucher from W.J. Morris Excavating Incorporated. This was to do the work, an emergency repair on a fire hydrant that was hit. We are working with the insurance company. They've agreed to pay approximately $11,000 on it, and we're still working to make sure we can get the rest of it. Meanwhile, the work has been done. So I entertain a motion to pay W.J. Morris Excavating $14,850.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. There. And agenda item five. This is in relation to Wexfleet Universal. We have a request to prepay this voucher and this much warrant because the due date of the bill will be October 31st and it will be deemed late if we don't prepay it. So Anna has asked that we give authority to prepay it. It's in the amount of $257.46.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We do have one more. And that is for Seaworth equipment in the amount of $5,439.20. And this is for many different items, but involves grinder pumps and field labor. And talking with our sewer team, we need to pay it because we're liable, the work's been done, but this will be backfilled to the contractor who's doing the work on our sewer infrastructure.
So
the amount? The amount is $5,439.20.
So,
sorry. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. That's
what we signed. Yeah, I signed it. Sorry, 10-3.
All right. So that's it on discussion, correct? While we're doing the final signatures on those vouchers, we do have some transfers of funds. The first one I'm seeking is transfer $153.75 from account A1330.4, which is general receiver taxes contractual, to account A1410.4, which is general town clerk contractual.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? The next request for transfer of funds is in the amount of $1,268.41 from account A1990.4 to general contingent account to account A6460.4 general economic development. And this is for payment of our economic development expense.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Moving a little further down, we have a request to transfer $10,000 from account A1990.4, which is a general contingent account, to account A1620.4, which is general buildings contractual. And this is to cover various operational expenses here at Town Hall, as well as buildings and grounds expenses.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. And then the last one is request for $1,000 to be transferred from account GI8110.2, which is sewer administration equipment, to account G181.10.4, which is sewer administration contractual.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Anything else? Do we have all the signatures that you need?
Yes.
So, with that, I'd entertain a motion to pay the bills as audited.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And finally, a motion to close the audit.
So
second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to get started this evening. I'd like to welcome everyone to a regular meeting of the Monroe Town Board for October 24, 2023, and ask that the clerk please call the roll to establish quorum.
Councilmember Stewart?
Here.
Councilmember Noonan?
Here.
Councilmember Van Tassel?
Here.
Councilmember Donahue?
Here.
And Supervisor Kuzniers?
Here. Everyone please rise for Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Agenda item two this evening is approval of minutes. And we are going to take August 29th, 2023, which is a regular town board meeting, and September 26th, 2023, which was an audit meeting. We have withdrawn September 12th for additional changes. So if somebody would like to move for their adoption.
So move.
Second. All in favor?
Aye. Aye. I abstained from the 29th.
You want to take them separately?
I don't think we're going to need to do this. September 26th, I have to abstain from.
Yeah, no,
we
did
29th and 12th.
Okay. No, we did 29th and 26th.
Oh, sorry.
So why don't we take them individually? So who made the motion?
I did.
All right, I'm taking a motion to adopt August 29th, 2023 regular town board meeting.
I can move that one. So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
All right. All right.
Any opposed?
No abstention.
We have one abstention. Motion passes. We're not taking up September 12th, 2023 this evening. Leave September 26th, 2023, which is an audit meeting. Someone like to move for their adoption.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Aye.
Motion carries. Agenda item three is Recreation Department. Our rec director is looking for town board approval for the upcoming basketball season. He has indicated that we have lost access to the Monroe Rec School, Monroe School, until probably after January due to a pipe burst and water damage at the school. And that has resulted in a considerable amount of warping on the floor and made it unsafe to play. So as a result, we have looked at availability of other rooms in schools. We do have that. The program houses currently takes care of 200 plus student athletes the past couple of years and has become the foundation for Southlands Falls basketball program. The program cost approximately $3,500 last year. We charge $25 per student or individual that wishes to participate, and the registration fee is due by November 24th, 2023. Is there anything you wanted to add to that, Jim?
Yes, the younger kids by 25, the older kids would be 35. Absolutely. That was just a little different. Each page shows it.
Okay.
That's the difference. And talking to the athletic director of the school, they can make it work. But they fit us in the schedule.
Okay.
Nothing's changed.
Mr. Gore's feeling? Yeah. Did you motion?
Yes.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion? No. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. I do have some paperwork in relation to the pole barn construction, and I think I will ask council to clarify the process in order to be able to move forward on that this year. Maybe tough, but because of the cost that we have obtained from a vendor, it exceeds general municipal law for that which we must go out to bid on. And I'll let council explain that further.
There's not much more to explain. You can take the words out of my mouth. Because it's over $35,000 as a public work or $20,000 as a purchase, you have to go out to a competitive bid under general municipal law 103. So we have to put together specs and a bid packet and send it out, and the board would have to approve the bid packet, send it out, and give probably 30 days for them to respond to the bid, open the bids, and then move forward with noticing the award and move forward with the project. So you have to put together the bid packet in order to move forward. Unfortunately, because of the cost, you're not allowed to just either make phone calls or just written estimates.
Assuming we did that process, are we not spending this out of the account?
It doesn't matter, so if we did.
Understood that. The question was would we then have to go to public referendum as another step?
You're doing town outside, not the park one?
So this would be the HD fund.
I don't know what that means. That's your
townwide.
So it's a townwide one.
Yeah.
The townwide one, you would have to have a resolution to expend the funds pursuant to the permissive referendum, so it's not 30 days. But you wouldn't know the cost of that yet.
Understood. I just want to make sure it's clear.
Yep.
So if we want to move forward on this evening, we need a resolution putting it up to for.
We don't have a bid packet, we don't have a bid packet yet.
So we have to put the packet together. Yep. So we can have Jeremy work with you on that?
Sure, absolutely. I saw a lot of the documents already, so it should be pretty simple to put it together and put it out.
That's what the board wants to do?
Yeah.
Yeah. Would we be able to make those time frames? Because we're going to go out 2 more weeks and then 30 days for the bid and then 30 days for the public referendum to push us into next year. So we could we schedule a potential meeting prior to our November 14th one to try to get this in quicker? I'm going to make myself available just to discuss that option to get that packet out faster to try to get this done. Directs the need of it.
That's fine. I mean, I don't know if you have budget workshops that are actually meetings. I was going to do that. I have a budget workshop. I have a special 10-minute meeting. I'm happy to do whatever the board wants.
Well, I think we need to see what the numbers are before we go any further. Before we schedule meetings.
Well, you won't see what the numbers are until you get the bids back.
This was
the bids back until you. No,
just
a bit.
Right. So,
I would make myself available to have a special meeting to put the bid packet out within that 30-day window so that we would be able to take potential action on it by the. I mean, I still don't think there's any way to get it done, in my opinion.
Well, you also have to understand, I don't know, we have the bid packet, we get it out, even if you do it in the smallest time frame you possibly can. I don't know when the actual materials would be available. Mm-hmm. You're already in October, so you've got 6 days. So December, I don't know if you're going to get out this budget year or what it's going
to be. Well, we budgeted for this year. Actually, we budgeted for the past 5 years.
I can work as quick. I can work with Jeremy tomorrow and put it together. So you tell me what to do.
All right. Well, we will have to schedule a public hearing, which I'll discuss a little bit further on the agenda. So we do have the ability to have a special meeting on that.
Okay.
So do you want the council to move forward with that?
Yeah,
work with
Jeremy for sure.
All right.
Sure.
Let's open the rest. Highway Department, Highway Superintendent has provided the town board with a memo in relation to our tree contract, and he has secured or attempted to secure quotes from 3 or 4 vendors. I think he only had one that replied, right? This is for the individual who we had contracted with in the past, Richard Tree Experts. He has provided a proposal. in the amount for 5-inch to 12-inch tree at $375 each, 12-inch to 18-inch, $575, 18-inch to 24-inch, $1,300 each, 24 to 36, $1,475 each, but over 36 inches, $2,100. And so...
And those are the same prices that...
Same prices that we've had for a couple of years now, right?
Yeah, no, at least the one year.
Yeah. So, Highway Superintendent would like us to report on it this evening. As I indicated, we did reach out to several vendors. This is the only one that responded. I think we should move forward because we do have potential for a dangerous situation. We need to have somebody available on standby if it is good press.
So, second.
Any discussion? Not all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. I would like to mention that the work that the highway superintendent and employees there has now been completed on Birch Road. They did a phenomenal job. And I'd like to single out the highway superintendent as well as his employees for essentially getting this issue turned around in under 2 months. The issue was brought to the town board in mid-August, and now we have redesigned and paved and marked this new entrance and exit way off of Fort Everett Road, which will now comply with safety standards. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you.
Agenda item 5. We have a request also from the highway superintendent who oversees our transfer station on a part-time basis. Unfortunately, we had an employee that was involved in a tragedy and will not be available to work for a period of time, and he has, the highway superintendent has interviewed an individual and is recommending that the town board hire Randy Ryder as a laborer, part-time, and booth attendant for the transfer station at a rate of $14.20 per hour, subject to the successful completion of a background check and pre-employment physical within a 2-week period.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? And I would just point out, within the highway superintendent's authority, because it is budgeted for, you don't need town board action if you want to utilize this individual on a part-time basis for flagging or as a wing person.
Great, thank you.
So that's why we're not doing a resolution on that.
When is he
going to
start? Did
we
give a start date?
When would you like him to start?
Two weeks, if not sooner, as soon as I can get his medical and his background check.
All right, so I can't see the
calendar. It's not, obviously not going to be this coming Monday. So maybe Monday after.
November 6th.
November 6th, work for you?
Yes, sir.
All right, so that resolution will be effective for his hire for November 6th.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Also on transfer station, my office received a phone call from an individual named Woodcock, and she owns 6 properties in the town of Moreau, and would like to haul brush to the transfer station free of charge. And she points to the fee schedule, which has been modified a number of times over the years, where we indicate that there is no charge for Town of Moreau mobile home park owners hauling on behalf of their park residents. Anybody else hauling in there, we do allow utility trailers larger than 6x12 dump trailers, state body or dump trucks at $30 per load. I indicated that we cannot, I cannot unilaterally authorize that, but I did say I'd bring it to the town board for review tonight. So, does the town board feel one way or the other?
So you're just looking to clean up their properties and bring it in?
So the issue is a dump trailer that's larger than whatever the size is, because this has come up multiple times in the past 6 years. I feel like probably more than that. I know Councilmember Donahue and former Councilmember Hogan hammered this out and had a lot of back and forth. I don't know if you have any insight, Mr. Donahue, on where you might decide to go with this since you spent more time with it, but and I see just as a resident who happens to have a dump trailer right now.
I think the problem arises that if we're going to make an exception for an individual who has six parcels, what's the magic number? Is it two homes, six homes, 10 homes?
Right.
It's kind of a slippery slope.
I mean, ultimately, they probably are income-providing property that only you can live in on six, right? So it becomes a business at that point. And you're hauling for your business, you're making money on the business. It's not a single residence.
Yeah, I'm not looking to take action on the individual tonight, but I would be willing to look into it and, as the supervisor just said, handle it as a whole to the town. We're going to set it that residents with this many properties will get classed into it. Mobile home parks, I would be comfortable with that. So I would like to, you know, table at this point, actually come up with a number to add to our fee schedule that we've adopted and just take action for one person.
I can support tabling.
Any other comments?
Just one question. I agree on gathering more information. Is the question about a dump trailer or is it the mobile?
No, it's about paying the fee to dispose of trash. And the individual also believes that she shouldn't have to because she pays taxes.
Yeah. Look forward to hearing.
Yeah, it'll be fine. I'm going to work with and see how many actual property owners in the town fit a certain number of categories. And I'll be able to provide that hopefully back to the town for the next meeting. I think we can have some discussion on it further.
So if they reach out to you, you'll have information provided, and my office will follow up with her directly.
What was her name?
Megan Woodcock. All right, agenda item six. First item of business under agenda item six is we have a requested change order number four in relation to Moreau Sewer District number one, extension five. And this change order would reduce the total contract amount by $566,348.10 to reflect the actual quantities for items installed. And this is very good news for us because it decreases the cost of the project even further by over $500,000 because we didn't need to perform the work. So I would entertain a motion authorizing the supervisor to sign change order number four in relation to the Moreau Sewer District 1 extension 5.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Did you need more on that, Don? Are we good? What's up?
Hasn't been approved by the contractor yet.
But they can't approve it until the town board took action.
Right. You know, if there's one grinder pump that we're still working on, the gravel center that will change it over there.
Right.
You have to have first.
All right. The next item is in relation to sewer district consolidation. I mentioned at the last board meeting when we had the draft consolidation report, all the reasons why it's a good idea to move forward with the consolidation of the sewer districts. And I also indicated that we uncovered some information that was very troubling as a part of digging through all those former map plan and reports. And some of the things that we discovered was that the former water superintendent failed to ensure payment of sewer connection fees totaling $1,046,500 and allowed undersized pipes and alternate pump systems to be installed contrary to approved plans. Most troubling is the fact that certificates of occupancy were issued after the water superintendent concluded sewers were fully complete, even though state permits and qualified private operators were not in place. We have reached out to the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation and asked that our new water superintendent and special district council work collaboratively to resolve these outstanding permit, technical, and legal issues. And while the town may seek collection of the unpaid sewer connection fees, we must start charging sewer users fairly. And end the practice of special treatment without delay. It's important to remember that Moreau taxpayers funded the original industrial park sewer system, hoping for a return on investment from commercial value growth. Unfortunately, the most significant users of the town-funded sewer system were residential apartment developers who escaped paying over $1 million connection fees. It's also important to recognize that recent sewer investments in District 1, Extension 5 will provide access to affordable sewer treatment from Saratoga County that will benefit every town sewer user townwide. Since 2011, the town has been unable to afford a purchase of treatment capacity needed for new developments. And this problem was permanently resolved because of this consolidation proposal. With the substantial investments in made in District 1 Extension 5. This winter, the town will finally have the sewer system needed to further economic development and groundwater production goals along Route 9 and in our industrial park. So now's the time to ensure that users share the infrastructure costs equitably. And so what the sewer district consolidation means is that we will address all these issues. And so as a result of that, we have a proposal before us tonight to summary the joint consolidation agreement and to begin that process. The board is ready to move forward. We will have to establish lead agency. The board ready to move forward.
You're looking for a motion to establish lead agency.
So the first order of business would be to have the town Moreau board declare lead agency in this process.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Did you have a motion there to read? Or do you want to...
I don't think we need a specific motion, just a general motion declaring lead agency, correct, Council?
So,
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yes.
So we have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
And this is just the first step, and the next step would be scheduling a public hearing.
The next step would be a motion adopting or endorsing the JCA, Joint Consolidation Agreement.
And then the third one would be scheduling a public hearing.
Yeah. I'll go over that.
Oh, you want to go over that?
Well, you can do this resolution first.
Okay. No discussion on that, declaring a lead agency.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. So in relation to Council Member Stewart's question, you want to walk through that, Council?
Sure. What you have now is a resolution endorsing the Joint Consolidation Agreement, which pertains to the one sewer district, six sewer district extensions, and the four out of district users. And under Article 17A of the General Municipal Law, the first step is for the governmental entity here, the town board, to endorse a joint consolidation agreement. And that joint consolidation agreement, together with the summary of the joint consolidation agreement and the map plan report prepared by the Burrish Group, is going to be one, filed in the town clerk's office for public review. Two, all the documents are going to be placed on the town's website. Three, the joint consolidation, the summary of the joint consolidation agreement is going to be published four times for four consecutive weeks in the Post Star. And prior to the expiration of that fourth publishing, there will be a resolution adopting a date and time for a public hearing on the consolidation, and that will be done after the fourth. The public hearing will be done after the fourth publication in the Post Star. Now, the joint consolidation agreement, and which hopefully you'll endorse tonight, and the map plan report sets forth the manner in which the sewer district, the six extensions, and the four out-of-district contract users will be billed. And it sets forth the formula for repayment of debt and future O&M charges.
Thank you.
So, any other questions to council?
So, with that, do all board members have a copy of the resolution authorizing the endorsement of the proposed joint consolidation agreement?
Yes.
Yes.
So, I will read it into the record unless you'd like to do it, Councillor.
Yeah, I can do it.
Do you have a copy of it for your record? Town of Aurora Town Board Meeting, October 24, 2023. A resolution authorizing the endorsement of a proposed joint consolidation agreement pursuant to Section 751-2A and 752 of the General Municipal Law, consolidating one town of Aurora Sewer District, six sewer district extensions to wit, Sewer District Number 1, which is Moreau Industrial Park, Sewer District Number 1, Extension Number 1, Leonelli Apartment Complex, Sewer District Number 1, Extension 2, Bluebird Village Apartments, Sewer District Number 1, Extension Number 3, The Nest, Sewer District Number 1, Extension 3, Harrison Place Apartments, Sewer District Number 1, Extension 4, Harrison Quarry Bluebird Trace Apartments, Sewer District Number 1, Extension 5, and four contract users into one consolidated sewer district subject to the completion of proceedings pursuant to Article 17A of the General Municipal Law of the State of New York. Whereas the Town of Moreau has heretofore established the following Town of Moreau Sewer District and extensions for wit, and I'm not going to read them all, I just did in the title. And whereas the Town of Moreau has four contract users consisting of parcel numbers, I will not read those in the records. And whereas the said Town of Moreau, on behalf of the one existing sewer district, six sewer district extensions, and four contract users, wishes to consolidate all the such areas into the Town of Moreau Consolidated Sewer District Number 1, a municipal corporation existing pursuant to the laws of New York State and created pursuant to the provisions of Article 17A of the General Municipal Law of the State of New York, and whereas the town board, by and through its supervisor, is desirous of endorsing and subsequently entering into the annex proposed joint consolidation agreement consolidating the new into one sewer district, the six sewer district extensions, and four contract users into one consolidated sewer district serving the following districts: Sewer District Number 1, Rome Industrial Park; Sewer District 1, Extension Number 1, Leonelli Apartments; Sewer District Number 1, Extension 2, Bluebird Village Apartments; Sewer District Number 1, Extension Number 3, The Nest; Sewer District Number 1, Extension 3, Harrison Place Apartments. Is that correct? There are two number threes?
Mm-hmm.
Sewer District Number 1, Extension 4, Harrison 4, East Side, Bluebird Trace Apartments. Sewer District Number 1, Extension Number 5, and further serving the four contract users. And whereas the new consolidated sewer district will assume jurisdiction over all areas previously served by the one sewer district, the six sewer district's extensions, and the four contract users. Whereas in order to consolidate the one sewer district, the six sewer district extensions, and the four contract users, it is necessary for Town of Monroe comply with the provisions of Article 17A of the General Municipal Law for the State of New York. Now, therefore, it is resolved that the Town Board and the Town of Monroe, acting on behalf of the Town of Monroe, hereby endorses the attached proposed joint consolidation agreement, and it is further resolved that the Town personnel and officers shall undertake the steps required under the aforesaid Article 17A of the General Municipal Law of the State of New York to comply with the provisions thereof to effectuate such consolidation.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Any discussion?
Yeah, let's call this what it is. It's nothing more, nothing less than an effort by the town to shift the burden of the debt to Silver District 1 and Extension 5 to other people, to other districts in the town. Silver District 1 and Extension 5 is a huge debt that was supposed to be paid for by a big warehouse, but the engineering groups, that would be $100 million of development in the first year. But there was $3 million in development in 2017. And they were going to pay for this sewer. There was going to be the other people. So these people come out and approve this thing. None of these things happened. None of this development happened. $100 million in the first year, we only had $10 million in 5 years. So now we're going to get consolidated sewer districts. So people have no say, no vote, and have nothing to gain but this big debt will help pay for the for sewer district on extension 5. That's all this is. Nothing more, nothing less. I'm in love.
So I understand your cheer and crowd is here, and I understand your excitement with your comments. But, you know, I have to be factual in my comments. And if you look at the map plan and report, there was never a promise of industry coming. Not sure if you read it. Councilman, I have the floor. And let's talk about that project. Town Board didn't have to put it to a vote. Town Board recognized that the people who are going to pay for it, not the taxpayers, it's the ratepayers in the proposed district. And we felt it was only proper that those individuals that would have to pay for the project would have a direct say in whether the town board moved forward on that. So we put it to a referendum, and it passed. That's the democratic way. And along the way, I committed to ensuring that I would do all I could to make it as affordable as possible. I'd reach out and secure grants as necessary, and it's a great story. We were able to secure $4 million in grant funding. Doesn't cost the ratepayers anything. On top of that, the money that would have to be borrowed, we had authority to borrow up to $12 million, zero interest for 30 years. I think we'd all like to be able to borrow money at zero interest, but the town was able to do it on behalf of the ratepayers. You just heard tonight, we had a change order that was adopted. Reduce the cost of the town by another over $500,000. So the return that we've seen, just drive up and down Route 9. You'd have to have blinders on not to see what that infrastructure development has done for our community. We've got all town fresh. I'm attending the opening November 2nd. We've got a new Stewart's. Hudson Headwaters came along. We've got Saratoga Oil. You know, and it's just going to go on and on. And we have people in this room, amazingly enough, that own property on Route 9 where their values have tripled. Just look at what they're asking for the property. And, you know, for political reasons, they may be opposed to that. They're entitled to it. But I bet you that their pocketbooks are happy when they sell their property. So it was a great investment for our community. It brought our tax base even higher by millions of dollars, and that will continue to grow, which will drive down the cost of the ratepayers in that district. Now, people are saying, wow, you're incurring more debt. Well, the reality is, again, because I committed to the ratepayers in the district to do all I can to make it affordable, we've applied for an IMG grant for our county portion, for doing the county connection, which we'll expect to be up and running shortly after the new year, which will give the town unlimited capacity without having to buy in like we would have had to do if we went across the river to the city of Glens Falls, where they wanted $3.4 million to buy capacity, and we put a pipe in the ground for $3.5 million to have unlimited capacity going to Saratoga County. Another great story for our community, positioning us for next generations to come. So those are the facts on the matter. I am in support of the consolidation because what it will do, as I articulated all the issues that we uncovered, it will clean them up, and moving forward, we'll have unlimited capacity for economic development growth in our community without having to spend $1 on capacity. The county doesn't require it. The supervisor of the town of Moreau has a seat at the table. As a member of the Board of Supervisors, we'll be able to have input on the sewer authority, and we don't have that across the river. So it was a smart thing to do. I'm proud of what we were able to accomplish and the grant funding that we were able to bring to make this project affordable. Consolidation is going to drive down the cost for everybody in the district. And the more investment that we have in the district, the lower the rates will be moving forward. So I'm a yes vote on consolidation.
For discussion on it, my question of why it's going to go to public is, or a public comment, I don't live in the district. All right? I want to hear what everybody else has to say about it. I agree with the supervisor on a lot of items. We're going to have two ways of flow now. We can negotiate with the city of Glens Falls. We can also negotiate at the county level. We have an old infrastructure in the village and then parts of the town in certain districts. Eventually, that's going to have to be replaced. Having the option to negotiate going forward north or going south is huge. With Councilman Donahue's comments, I wasn't on the board during that time. I know it did go out to the public and it did go to a vote. Ultimately, however they got there, it passed. Adding this additional cost was going to be cost we were going to spend no matter what. You look at the MAT plan report, we were going to spend additional costs to either gain our capacity, add infrastructure to different areas. I supported it. I really think having a supervisor, whoever's in the seat in the coming years, to be able to negotiate that is huge. So I am in favor of moving forward with the consolidation, and let's get it to the public hearing, and everybody will have their turn to let us know their opinion of it. So,
if not, roll call. We'll do roll call.
Council Member Stewart?
Yes.
Council Member Noonan?
Yes.
Council Member Donahue?
No.
Council Member Van Tassel?
Yes.
And Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. So, do you need any other action to see anything?
No.
And so we will, at a later date, set the public hearing?
Correct.
And I know that statutorily there's some timelines in there for when you do that?
The consolidation process can't be less than 35 days, nor more than 120 days.
Okay.
So, sometime in November. I got to do the math on the calendar.
Okay. So will the next board meeting entail action on the part of the board?
Yes, to adopt the date and time for the public hearing.
Okay. All right.
And the notice of the public hearing has to be at least 10, no more than 20 days prior to the date of the public hearing.
Great. Thank you. Agenda item 7 is the employee handbook. This is something that we have been working on for a very long time. And we did have some minor changes as a result of changes in either state law or state policy that we had incorporated last time. We do have the final draft, and the two changes included Pregnant Workers Fairness Act policy under Section 803, Breaks for Nursing Mothers policy changes under Section 403. Required labor law posters are now required to be available digitally. That's incorporated under Section 1001. And New York State changed the harassment policy rendered Town's previous policy obsolete. The new policy is included under Section 804. So with that, this has had a lot of review. Is the board ready to move forward?
Absolutely. Yes.
So I would entertain a motion. To adopt the Town of Monroe Employee Handbook as put together by Public Sector HR Consultants LLC out of Glenville, New York.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
Just to put context around, you said a long time, it's been since 1996. So the long overdue, I'm glad you thought about that.
We'll bring the town to 21st. Did we do roll call on that?
No.
Councilmember Stewart?
Yes.
Councilmember Noonan?
Yes.
Councilmember Van Tassel?
Yes.
Councilmember Donahue?
Yes.
And Supervisor Kuzniers?
Yes. Agenda item 8 is senior citizens real property tax exemption. I had indicated several months ago that this is something that I would like to move forward on for this year, and this was recommended by the town's assessor. And if you recall, back, it was fall 2021, we did a little research on the last time that the senior citizens exemption was modified, and we found that the exemption was enacted in 1967 and has been increased 9 times over the years. But at that time, the last time the adjustment was made was in 1996. So we changed that in 2021. Just a reminder for to qualify for the program, you must be 65 or older, and the exemption for the property sought must be the primary residence. So we have the draft of the local law. Obviously, we have to schedule a public hearing on that before we can act. My intent is to have this local law adopted before the end of the year so that this exemption will be in full force and effect for the taxable status year 2024. So if the board would like to move forward on that, I'd entertain a motion to establish or set a public hearing, and I would do it right before our board meeting on November 14th at 6:45.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Agenda item 9, supervisor items. I do have a number of items. Received correspondence late yesterday afternoon from Essity in relation to an updated WARN notice, and I'll read it in its entirety. It says, this letter is to notify you of changes we have made to the layoffs, of which we notified you in our letter dated July 20th, 2023, at the following Essity Professional Hygiene North America LLC facilities. First, One River Street, Southlands Falls, New York, also referred to as Southlands Falls facility. Site is 72 County Road 53, Greenwich, New York, known as the Greenwich Facility, and 49 Geyser Road, Saratoga Springs, known as the Saratoga Springs Facility. In accordance with the warrant notice, production operations at the Southland Falls Facility ceased on July 2023, and layoffs of most affected employees working at the facility commenced this past Friday, October 20th, 2023. Certain of the affected employees have been asked to continue reporting to work as needed, and they have each been notified individually. A list of the employees who have been asked to continue working is enclosed in this letter. In this list, we have identified the affected employees by their role, the reason for continuation of their employment beyond October 2023, and the new date on which the layoffs are expected to occur. As noted in the original warrant notice, operations at the Greenwich facility and the Saratoga Springs facility will continue for some time to provide a smooth transition for customers. We will provide you, all the relevant local government representatives, and all the impacted employees at the Greenwich facility and the Saratoga Springs facility with at least 90 days notice of the date at which layoffs will commence at either of those New York facilities. Affected employees who are separated as a result of this action will be paid all wages and other benefits to which they are entitled through their date of separation, provided their employment with the company is not terminated prior to the date by the employee's voluntary resignation or by the company for cause. On or before the effective date of each employee's separation, the company will provide information under separate cover to eligible affected employees concerning available benefits. Further information regarding this matter, please contact Steve Candler, HR Director, Stephen.Candler@Essity.com, who is also the company's liaison with the New York State Department of Labor for purposes of providing rapid response services to affected employees. And I'm not going to name names, but I can tell you that for the titles, the new layoff dates for those in Southland Falls, the SHR manager will, all of these will now be pushed to December 31st, 2023. Project engineer slash manager of engineering, Northeast Converting Maintenance and Project Manager, paper planner, and others, RST process engineer slash leader, RST maintenance leader, and WTP team leader. And then we have a couple for the other plans. I received the news today, which is very good from the county in relation to the Saratoga County airport expansion. We had secured originally $27 million in grants for a project at approximately $33 million, and we were just notified that we received a grant for another $1.5 million, generator grant from the New York State, and $900,000 from the FAA for the terminal project. We do have an item that requires action at the request of Jeffrey Cruz, our principal account clerk, and he indicates, all the board members should have a copy of the memo, that the GASB, the Governmental Accounting Standards Board, the national body that sets the standards for governmental accounting and financial reporting. These are the accounting standards that the town of Monroe uses when preparing the annual update document, or AUD, or annual financial report, AFR, each year. And GASB has issued statement number 75, accounting and financial reporting for post-employment benefits other than pensions. Statement number 75 seeks to improve financial reporting by requiring the OPEB liability be reported in the financial statements rather than in the accompanying notes. Examples of OPEB liabilities include post-employment medical benefits, dental benefits, vision benefits, prescription medicine benefits, disability benefits, and other health benefits that are not part of the pension plan. And so in order to maintain compliance with the GASB statement 75, the town is required to report the total OPEB liability in the statement of the net position on the governmental-wide financial statement. However, the calculation of the total OPEB liability involves an actual valuation to be completed every 2 years in accordance with the actual actuarial standards of practice. And the New York State Comptroller's Office does not endorse or recommend that any specific actuarial firms comply with GASB Statement Number 75. However, the procedure for obtaining professional services such as this is to use the request for proposal process. So therefore, Jeffrey is looking for town board authorization to put the requested work out for an RFP. And if the board requires, remembers, we have budgeted $3,250 for this purpose.
Any other motion?
Yes.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? I received correspondence yesterday afternoon from Commissioner Maxwell of the county in relation to the HEAT program. I just want to announce on the record that Commissioner Maxwell is our Director of Social Services at the county. He indicates that the HEAT program for 23-24 year is scheduled to commence on Wednesday, November 1st for regular benefits and close on March 15, 2024. The emergency benefits commencement will open on January 2nd, 2024 and remain open through March 15, 2024. The furnace repair replacement component did not close this year and remains open indefinitely for the 23-24 HEAT year. Although there are established closing dates, they are contingent on available funding. We will have this information posted on our website that has more detailed info and how to contact the county for additional information. I have correspondence from the Town of Queensbury Water Wastewater Department in relation to the actual cost of water for 2022. Says Supervisor Kuznier, the actual cost for production of water in 2022 was $1.23 per thousand. Gallons, $1.18 per thousand gallons plus the 5 cent transmission cost. The year 2022 budget rate was $1.27 per thousand gallons, which included $1.22 per thousand gallons plus the 5 cent transmission cost. So a credit will be applied to our account at a rate of 4 cents per thousand gallons. And that total credit for meter use in 2022 will be $9,607.70. Received correspondence from the county in relation to letter that was provided by Governor Hochul and Acting Director Greg Olson from the Office for the Aging. In a nutshell, that's in relation to the Senior Farmers Market Nutrition Program. They actually did a review which indicated in 2022 that the network distributed 490,505 farmers market coupon booklets throughout the state of New York. And this was a $2.452525 million benefit for low-income older New Yorkers, as well as for New York's agricultural community. More specifically, what this means for Saratoga County is that of the statewide total, Saratoga County distributed 3,325 coupons at a value of $16,625. Older adult recipients successfully redeemed 2,219 of these coupons at farmers markets, and therefore, as a direct result of everyone's efforts, $11,095 of fresh local produce was obtained by older adults in our community, which supports their health and nutrition. And the last item that I have, I brought it up several board meetings, and just want to remind the public that is able to sponsor a COVID-19 influenza vaccine clinic for individuals 65 years and older. That'll be taking place here at Monroe Town Hall this Friday, October 27th, from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., and then later today, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. However, you are required to make an appointment with the County Health Department. This information is on our website, and we've reached out to the community center to once again make sure that our individuals that are patrons in the community center know that we are offering this. And that's all I have under supervisor items. I do not need an executive session. Do you have to?
I do not.
Do you need one? So that takes us to agenda item 11, other business. Anyone have other business? If not, takes us to agenda item 12, which is privilege of the floor. Any individual that wishes to be heard, please state your name and address for the record. You'll have 3 minutes to address the board, and please keep your comments germane to town business. Do we have anyone signed up to speak? Have you other side of this? What's that?
Cynthia and Nick.
Cynthia and Nick?
Yes, that's me.
You have the floor. Please step up to the podium.
Hi, I'm Cynthia Nick. I reside in Corinth, New York at 513 County Route 24. And I'm here to discuss a situation that happened while I was employed at Saratoga County. I am utterly appalled by the employment practices of the Saratoga County Board of Supervisors under the supervision of Theodore Cousineers. The atmosphere within the Saratoga County Board of Supervisors underwent significant changes when he became the Monroe Supervisor. I am determined to share my story with anyone willing to listen in the hope of bringing about positive changes to Saratoga County's personnel promises for a better future. During Theodore Cousineers' tenure, his appointed administrator, county attorney, and director of planning all had a hand in discriminating practices against retaliation against me. My story is a stark reminder of the challenges women face in the workplace, and it should serve as a rallying point for all of us. While it may sound almost unbelievable, I can attest that it is true. If you've experienced a hostile work environment at Saratoga County, please reach out to me via email, womenunitedsaratogacounty@gmail.com. Over the past few months, there have been troubling increases in Saratoga County employee disputes, which ultimately placed a burden on taxpayers. My story began when I found the courage to lodge a complaint against my boss, the director of planning. He cautioned me that seeking assistance from the Human Resources Office would be the biggest mistake of my life, and insisted that I couldn't work elsewhere due to his extensive connections within the county. After I filed the complaint, he held a departmental meeting and instructed the planning team to not engage with communication with me. My boss pressured me to withdraw the harassment complaint for undisclosed reasons and told me to meet with the county administrator and county attorney to figure out how to withdraw the complaint. When I declined, he yelled at me and told me to leave his office. The investigation was initiated, and throughout this process, my boss consistently inquired about progress and repetitively asked me if I have received any updates. I requested the attorney to interview two other women who were previously working in the department. I was told they could not be interviewed because they hadn't been employees for over a year. However, I reached out to them, and if contacted by the lawyer, would have spoken in my defense. When the attorney asked me about the desired outcome of this complaint during the investigation, I simply expressed my wish to distance myself from the boss and transfer to any several open positions within the county. Unfortunately, I did not receive any written communication from the attorney's office. Instead, I received a phone call, which conveyed that while my boss's conduct was deemed unprofessional, he would receive additional training. Ultimately, I made the difficult decision to resign to avoid his retaliatory actions following the filing complaint. During your tenure as a supervisor, there has been a decline in ethical standards and blurring of the lines between right and wrong. This change has shaped Saratoga County into an environment where loyalty to Cousineers, often for personal self-promotion, takes precedence. Thank you very much.
Yes, I heard all your remarks in its entirety at the County Board of Supervisors meeting.
Yes, I was there. Can I ask a question?
No.
Okay, thank you so much.
Has anybody else signed up to speak? Any other member of the public wish to be heard? Yes, sir.
Yes.
State your name and address for the record. You have 3 minutes to address the board.
Hi, my name is Chris Grancio. I live at 21 Fifth Street in Glens Falls. You guys had a meeting October 10th about my situation at the rec. Did everybody receive my email?
Yes, sir.
Yes, good. Do you guys have any questions for me?
No, I've already
put a motion on the table, and it was ultimately outvoted 3-2.
No, it was actually tabled. I know you guys voted on it and stuff. No, but, so my question is this. Is that going to be the policy moving forward? That's my question. And why was it turned down? Why don't you guys do the right thing, okay? Because no services were rendered at all, okay? And I've been doing this for 20 years, and it's been canceled once out of 20 years due to the weather. And you guys, like I said in my past email, you guys used to give credit for those games lost, which the most recent one I had was I lost 12 games, but I was okay with losing those 12 games because the teams know that if they get a majority of the games in, they know that they don't get a refund and stuff. I have to return the money back to these teams, okay? This is going to not only affect my organization, the players, the parents, the freaking teams that come in here that generate over $100,000 in this area. That's a true story, okay? So you guys, my question is this. Is this what you guys are going to do? Set the precedent for the town that you're not going to refund people back when no services are rendered? That's the question. And that is that policy going to move forward? Is that going to be the policy? You don't even have a policy in place. It's not even a contract. It's a field request form. So it's not even a contract. There's nothing in there that says it states a refund policy. So how could you actually do that? Questions? Any comments?
Chris, I put my comments on the record last night. I was in favor of you getting a refund. Okay? I would like to know what you were going to do. I was hoping you were going to do the right thing and you were going to give the money back to the organizations. Ultimately, after your email to me, I agree with you. That is not my business. As the town board member, I am worried about the rec and the people that came forward. If you don't give it back to them, well, that's on you and on the tournaments that you hired. I've already put a motion out there that said that I wanted to refund you your money. It was, and I would disagree with you this, it wasn't tabled. It was voted on, and it was outvoted 3-2. At this point in time, I don't know what else I can do. I'd be putting the same motion on the table that has already been.
So my question to all of you, is that going to be the refund policy moving forward, yes or no?
We don't have a refund policy.
That's true, you don't. So how can you not have the services rendered? I don't get it. Because you've never done that before, Todd. You sat on the board member before. You weren't supervisor. You know this has happened. I can bring it up in board meetings from a year or two ago, exactly what the board has done.
You know what I just learned? I don't think the board knows this, and you just mentioned it, that you received the credit. We had no authority to get those credits previously. That was a deal that was cut between you and the former rec director, rec leader.
No.
The town board did not vote on it, did not have a discussion on it. And you're lucky that you got it, but it was inappropriate because we cannot give back taxpayer dollars legally.
Just so the public knows what's going on here. Chris, could you touch on exactly what the point is? How we got to this point? You paid how much for your tournaments at the year?
I paid $2,850 to rent the fields at Borough Rec. And out of the 20 years I've been there, I had to cancel a tournament due to downpour rain come Saturday morning. Couldn't get the fields ready. I was down there from 7 in the morning till 5 at night, pumping the fields off. Couldn't get them ready. We tried our best, but we couldn't get them ready. So we had to cancel the tournament, the whole thing. Couldn't get the fields ready. We had to refund these teams back.
So yeah. The issue is it came to the board last meeting. Should we reimburse the league? And this isn't Chris Strenzio's money. This is an organization. This is a softball league's money. They had an agreement with the town of Monroe to rent the fields for the softball tournament. It completely got rained out. Completely rained out for it. But they couldn't do it. So they were asking for a refund. We discussed it last meeting that we did have some employees there and stuff, and that, you know, we should be giving them this money back. And it's like time off. I talked to Chris and Mark and I talked. You know, the town should be reimbursed properly for any money maybe they spent. But we don't have anything in writing. We don't have anything in writing. So we have an agreement, not with Chris Prince here, but with his organization in the town of Marl. You know, there is no reason we shouldn't be giving these people back their money. These people are Pearl residents, a lot of them. These teams are local teams. And we're going to keep their $2,800 because of personality issues? No, let's put principle before personalities. Let's do the right thing. Let's refund their money. And Chris agrees, and I think everybody would agree, that whatever we invested that day in employees coming in, taking care of the fields, and doing whatever they had to do, opening the place up, maybe $400 or $500, whatever it costs, maybe we should withdraw that much and give them the rest of, as a refund.
I don't see that.
The town of Grove has a right to keep that money. I really don't.
So I just heard Councilman Donahue say several times, your organization, and in your second sentence in your email, you say, my organization is the Adirondack Extreme. It's a nonprofit organization. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me why it is not listed on the IRS website or the Department of State?
I have a tax number and everything.
As a not-for-profit?
I have a tax number.
Do you have a team? Do you have a team?
Yes. I will have a team in the spring.
Oh, you will have a team. You don't have a team now.
That doesn't matter about anything right now, Todd. We're talking about what happened.
It matters.
No, it doesn't. What happened was in October.
Where's the money going?
Okay.
Money goes back to your organization, yeah. Todd. What do you think it goes? The organization wrote the check. We write a check back to the organization. The organization then controls the money, how they're going to give it back to their teams. That has nothing to do with the town at all. It's an organization or a contract with an organization. Now, if there's a problem with when we give the money back to the organization, if there's a problem how they redistribute it, it's not our problem. Our problem is that we took money for a service that we didn't provide. We should be giving that money back minus whatever, you know, funds that we put out to get the fields and stuff right. And I think it's pretty simple. You know, but once again, let's take the personalities out of this.
So is that the precedent that the town's going to set? That's my question. My second question is, is this the refund policy that's going to be in place that you're not returning any money back to any teams moving forward when you don't even have a refund policy in place? You don't even have one in place.
So simply the policies. As you stated, if you listen to the minutes from the last meeting of the audience, there was additional discussion of being left out of the context. We don't have a policy that allows us to give back the money. And we encourage entities like yourself to work better with us to put a better policy in place on the next contract. So yeah, we'd like to fix the problem because I don't want to be sitting here with this problem down the road.
But the whole point is that you don't have one in place now, so you should return the services rendered. Once you have a policy in place, then you have a policy in place.
You don't have the authority to disperse taxpayers' money. I want to be clear on one more thing for the public. I don't want this to digress into a long conversation. You painted a picture, Councilman Donahue, that we're not giving back residents' money. He's already gone on record telling us he's not going to give back the teams their money. He wants us to give them his
money.
Didn't
he say that?
Yes, I did. I am going to give a refund or a credit back to the teams. Yes, I am.
That's for their organization to take care of. It's not your business. It's not my business. Mm-hmm. Our business is we took $2,800 from an organization. From the softball organization, our children and our families put up that money. And we're going to keep that money because we can. That's nonsense. It's nonsense. You can take it and spend it all you want.
Your time has expired.
So let me ask you a question.
Your time has
to
expired.
Is that going to be the policy moving forward?
Your time has expired. Any other individual wish to be heard this evening?
I'm going to seek legal counsel.
Okay.
I'd still like to talk about this, but we did, and I believe Councilman Tassel did ask for further clarification on this. And I do know that Chris did respect to have this as an item on the agenda and plenty of notice to get him for a full discussion in front of us. So I did speak with Jeremy, and we did, and he can correct me because Jeremy is here, that we did approximately run into a cost of $500 to have everybody here at this tournament. We're sitting here going back and forth of, is he going to give back the money? Is he going to do this? Ultimately, I do agree. It is none of our business. That's the organization, his standpoint. And I hope he does the right thing and credits him back. But that's between him and the tournaments. We're telling him to do that while we're sitting here not doing that. We incur a cost.
Do the right thing.
We incurred a cost of $500. And I don't do... And again, I guess we could table this for one. Tip number one, Chris, to actually get the exact amount that we did it. Let's get the exact amount of the people we did it and to bring it back and have it as a discussion thing. But I think, how can we bill out for a service because it's by games and then tell not to do those games and then not give any credit? I have a hard time to sit here and say that anybody on this board thinks that's a good idea.
Hi, I'm Sandy Mahoney, Sisson Road, Fort Edward, New York. I just have a question in regards to the EMS and fire tax exemption. Where's the town stand with that?
I'm supportive of it. The problem is that the county has moved forward on it as well. It's an either-or thing, and I haven't gotten representatives of each service have reached out to me and said they would like to go that way and have the choice. On face value, it sounds like the current exemptions that are in place are more valuable, but I don't want to speak for the rest of the board. I'm happy to do whatever each organization wants to do.
Okay, and is that going to, like Warren County just did it as, you know, someone that's been in over 20 years gets a lifetime exemption. I'd like to see that Warren and Saratoga County does the same.
For which service?
Fire and EMS.
I don't have a problem looking into that and moving forward on.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome. Any other member of the public wish to be heard?
Yes, please.
Well, you're number two, and then the woman back to me.
I don't know if this is for the board or for Chris, because they're all elected. I heard you say you got money for trees. Is that right? And money for trees?
Yeah.
Can we do the tree on Pine Valley, the pine tree that we talked about before the winter that's caused the drainage problem? And
I would have to have further discussion with the homeowner.
Well, I think we've had that discussion about 10 times.
Well, I've talked to the husband, I have to talk to the wife.
Well, it's been prolonged, so I mean, if we got the money, I think the wife has said okay. We've had that conversation several times. So if we get that done before the winter, I mean, we all know the problem that's there.
Right.
So if we get that done so we don't have that problem in the spring.
I'll contact the...
Okay. I'd appreciate you guys all on board. Kyle, you know the problem down there.
I guess I'm not aware of the problem, but I know the tree.
Well, okay, well, the water and the ice and the winter and all that.
You know? Right. And then you have four drainage basins right there in that corner, though, right? And it's still bad?
Well, this past winter was okay. The winter before was absolutely terrible.
Yeah. Well, you just put one in, though, on his side.
Right.
You put two of them in.
Right. On his side.
Right.
Because the other one was over on the cross street, covered with grass for probably 15 years, right?
Yeah.
And they just cut that one out and opened it up.
Yeah.
I definitely think you should talk to the homeowner because I feel like they want to keep it. But
I'll let him handle it. But, yeah, we've had that conversation, too.
I'll get in touch with him.
Okay, good. Thanks. I didn't know who to address.
Yes, ma'am.
Maureen Dennis, 2187 Route 22, Hoosick Falls, New York. I'm here regarding the comment made by Supervisor Kuznir last week stating that the developer owes the town over $400,000 as a result of unpaid fees. It looks like you updated the number. I don't know what portion of the $1.4 million that you're talking about tonight pertains to Skimmelhorn, but I have in my possession, and I also would like to add that you made a point of fact to stating that the past water superintendent failed to bill and was malfeasance in his actions regarding that matter. I have a town board meeting November 24th of 2020. The supervisor stated, I believe you were the supervisor at the time, Mr. Kuznir.
What was
the date? The responsibility for water billing will be transferred from the clerk's office to the superintendent or the supervisor's office. So, not sure if that ever came to fruition. There was a resolution 2020-298 that passed. All in favor of that. Also, the town law specifically states it's either the clerk or the building superintendent or inspector. And that's where any of the bills received from Skimmelhorn come from the building department, not the water superintendent. Additionally, I would like to add, I have a receipt of a letter from Brenda Hutter, August 29th of 2023, stating the town has received the following payment for Harrison Village. 5/30 of 2019, $50,400 for 240 units, and I would respectfully ask that the draft map plan report be updated immediately, because you went on record basically saying this, Rich Skimmelhorn hasn't paid his bills. I have a copy of the canceled check. I also have town board meeting minutes from February 23rd of 2016. It says a motion was made by Councilman Cousiniers. It's seconded by Councilwoman LeClaire to reimburse Skimmelhorn Construction in the amount of $371,000 for sewer fees the town was not entitled to. And it was unanimously decided, the money was received, and $371,000 was refunded. The money was charged as a result of January 10th, 2012. There's no resolution number, but it says Supervisor Jenkins said that $1,750 is for construction, and I believe it was for construction of what I would refer to as the failed Route 9, Route 197 sewer district, because I don't believe the current Route 9 sewer district was voted into law until 2018, and this was back in 2012. And I have a couple meeting minutes. I have a Postar article from Moreau, Ways Fate of Developers Funds. I also have a quote on record that says, no written policy to collect the fees up front, and that the $1,750 fee that was collected was for a potential sewer project that didn't pass. And last but not least, I believe Attorney Bootner was on record saying, it was quoted in the Postar that I believe they were illegal. At this stage, there's nothing legally to say that the town can keep his money, you were quoted as saying. So I would like a public apology. I would like something noted on the town website. And the reason I'm asking for that is because right now, all people have to listen to is the audio. And by you putting that blanket statement out there, and you have a individual in the building by the name of Bridget Martin, who has this business association Facebook page. I know she has no affiliation with the town.
Your time is up, ma'am.
Okay. Yeah. But I will be contacting the press and the media.
That's
if it's not
here.
Corrected.
And I'd be happy to clarify your statements. I voted for returning the $371,000. Mr. Skimmerhorn's your employer, right?
Yes.
You filed a plethora of FOILs on his behalf recently.
Correct.
And you just stated that I voted to return $371,000.
Correct.
As a member of this board, I was not supervisor.
No, I didn't say you were supervisor.
No, I know. I'm just.
I have a personal email from you to Rick Skimmelhorn regarding the matter. I can produce that for evidence if you like.
Well, this isn't a court of law, but that's
well,
fine.
So
it was returned by action of the board, not by me, by collectively the town board, because we were erroneously provided with information that we didn't have a policy in place by a water superintendent at that time. And know what we found out? After digging through a nightmare of records because they're so poorly kept, that wasn't the case. We did have a policy in place. Well, and that money has not been returned to the town of Moreau.
I have the floor.
I'm responding to your comments.
Okay.
So, you also asked if that was the total amount that is owed by developers. I don't know if it's all for one individual, but a majority of it is. And it is higher than the $400,000 that was refunded. And so, to this point in time, we're doing the right thing. We're making sure that everyone pays their fair share in this community when it comes to either taxes or sewer services. And it took us a long time to get here. But we've uncovered a lot of inappropriate things that took place.
I assume you're saying based on January 10th, 2012.
I'm saying what I just said to you. And you made reference that you're looking for a problem.
You don't have to be snarky.
All right, I won't even reply. Any other member of the public wish to be heard? Yes, sir.
Jesse Fish, retired water superintendent. You know, as well as everybody here knows, that I have no responsibility with setting fees, collecting fees, making fees, or anything else. You know that that's nothing. Absolutely not my job. Never was, and it never was. This man back here for 25 years, none of us, neither one of us for the last 40 years ever set a fee or collected a fee. Wasn't our job to do that. That job was done by you guys. You set the fees, you pass the resolutions, not me.
So you're absolutely correct. You do not set the fees. Town board does. It's a legislative action as dictated by law. However, it's the department head's responsibility to ensure everything is in compliance before that goes up the chain of command to the billing department. It was referenced by this woman here that the billing office is in my office for water and sewer. That is correct. It was not at the time of these developments coming in. That was done by the town clerk's office, but the town clerk did not take action until she was given the green light from the department. That was you.
No.
Action to do what? Action to do what? What was it that they were taking action to do that it was my responsibility? I sent letters to the state of New York for water and sewer capacity. That's all I ever did. Other than that, I didn't have a say in anything. Nothing at all. It was done by the board.
That's correct.
The building department collected the fees for the beginning of the projects, and they took them over and gave them to the clerks that registered them. Nothing to do with me. At all. And you know that. This is nothing but a political thing for you.
Ironically, I can say the same. Anybody else wish to be heard?
Yes, this man's trying to speak.
Ironically, that's not a time. Huh?
You've already spoken. Any other member of the public wish to be heard? Then,
he's
nobody else wishes
to be heard.
He should be able to speak. I didn't use all my 3 minutes. Yes, he is a crack.
All right, I ask if everybody wants to come up and talk, please. I'll stay here all night, but I can't hear everybody arguing and yelling. Come up and talk to the podium like we're supposed to. Please say it in a respectful manner, and let's continue on our meeting. That's all I ask.
Can you finish his 3 minutes?
Mr. Tom, it goes back to the end, and he has more. He can come up at the end, just as he always says.
Dominic Tom, Cedar Lane. None of the following information came from any Moreau elected official, including this bogus supervisor's human dartboard, John Donahue. Moreau taxpayers should know that the self-admitted CEO of Moreau and his acolytes endangered this town and all its taxpayers by covering up an out former town employee's use of a town truck to visit a bar on at least one late evening. It's one of those infamous, well-known secrets afflicting Moreau. I've seen text messages and photos one brave town resident relayed to board member Mark Stewart during the night in question, as Mr. Stewart was camping in the Adirondacks. I've read the text someone read to me. The resident's reward for looking out for our safety was to be evicted from the town Republican committee, better known as...
Sir, if you're not talking about town business...
Better known as the KFC, Coosner's Family Committee. This is town business.
No, you're talking political. If you want to talk about the town issue,
imagine if the employee who quietly resigned after remaining on the payroll for some time caused an accident. So here goes. Did any elected official report the potential criminal, civil, or employee violation to any unbiased investigative agency? Why was the employee allowed to continue working? Was the employee charged with official misconduct or any other civil violation? Why shouldn't any elected official who refused to take immediate action be charged with official misconduct, dereliction of duty, and other charges to be forced to resign? At the risk of beating the supervisor and throwing Mr. Stewart under the bus, I question why, as a sworn county deputy sheriff, and an elected official who took an oath of office, he apparently didn't immediately report it to his superiors or an unbiased police agency. Was the town attorney consulted and or provide legal guidance? So let the vengeful supervisor's word games, denials, tongue-twisting, outright lies, blame-shifting, it's a personnel matter, no one gave me the information, etc., begin while his three acolytes sit in their usual silent subservience, as they do on nearly all town matters, minor and major. And I want to commend Cynthia Nick for coming back from Florida and spoken word.
So I don't know how to make a comment on that. I put my hand on the Constitution, I put my hand on the Bible and testify. I will tell you right now that I did everything that I possibly could that night for my situation to address that, including Miss Bennett, who's in here, who I told her if she has a concern for a risk to contact the local authority immediately. Liz, can you confirm that?
I was going to get up and talk, but he got
thank you. Then on top of that, all the stuff that you brought up would be taken in an executive session. I will let you know that I did everything that I legally could do to address this issue. You can ask our town attorney. Every single piece of information that you just asked for and you stated to, including stuff that you didn't, has been provided to our town attorney for any action to be taken. So for you to sit there and slander my name when you didn't have the facts, I've offered to meet with you multiple times in person. You've denied it. You won't meet with me because you associate me with other people. I've had enough. I've offered to meet with you. I've offered to meet with anybody in this room to talk about anything with an open mind and do what's right for this town. It's not about me and my opinion. It's about everybody in this town. I have voted yes for things that I didn't agree with. I voted no for things that I agreed with because it's what the town wanted. It's enough. We are a good community. We do great things in our school district. Marathon dance, sports. All of a sudden, this political room is pushing people apart. Families that I have been, or my families have been friends with for years. I am sorry to see that it's gone this way, but I'm not going to sit there and let my name be slandered and you bring up my profession, because I have put the best on and I was willing to put my life on the line to do anything. And I take that personal.
Anybody else wish to be heard this evening? Please state your name and address for the record.
Your
comments germane to town business, and you'll have 3 minutes.
My name is Elizabeth Bennett. I live on Gansworth Road in the town of Morrell. I was going to get up, but I was in the back. Everything Mr. Stewart said is absolutely accurate. Full disclosure, I've known Mark Stewart since he was small. And the night in question, I absolutely reached out to 2 board members because, yes, a town employee was drinking and driving in a town truck. My first question that I was going to ask when I came up, you did the employee handbook. What time was that employee handbook put on the agenda for additional information? Because I looked at it at dinner time before I got here and it wasn't there. I didn't even notice it until I got here to the meeting. That's a draft copy for now, for October of 23. What has happened between 96 and 23 as far as an employee handbook? Did one exist? And did
we do have one. It's not updated. And this was an updated version to make the role in compliance with the recent and changes that occurred.
I heard that part, yep. So,
you don't want to lose that. You just want to cut that.
Well, I don't want to lose my 3 minutes.
Okay, that's
fine. Unless you want to add on.
No, I won't count.
Okay. The other question I had then is the non-updated version, was that provided to new employees? That's just a yes or no. Like, did they get something? Like, a new employee between 96 and 23, did they get an employee handbook that wasn't the new updated one? Did they get something? They did. So everything that I just read sitting back there tonight stated that town employees in a town vehicle aren't allowed to drive anybody else around in it, only to be used for town purposes and for town business. Not for personal gain, personal use, whatever. I'm dumbfounded and sad and disappointed that the majority of this town board allowed that to happen, because if something, if that employee who stayed here, because I know, because he went to my boss to try to get me fired after I spoke out, and I brought that to some board members' attention, that town employee stayed employed here, still driving a town vehicle. What if it happened again? What if he crashed? What if he killed someone? You as a town board are taking on the liability on our tax dollars. If something happened, we'd be paying for it, and whoever he killed. And I was disgusted to know that that existed. I was told by one board member that actions were taken, and it was in the works that something would happen, that something was being done. Allowing that person to stay employed was disgusting. Violating the town code, the town handbook, absolutely inappropriate. And I can't imagine that the people that I'm looking at allowed that to happen. And yes, everything Mark Stewart said, I wholeheartly agree.
Time has
he
expired.
Did everything he was supposed to, so I think.
So, the book, I don't believe we even had a policy of the previous, I think it was 1996 adopted in relation to use of town vehicles, but I'd have to look.
Nothing says you can't take a town vehicle and drink and
drive. Well, I'm just saying it wasn't addressed. But I can tell you, and I'm not going to go into the details, that when this matter was brought to my attention, nobody called me until Councilmember Stewart made me aware of it. I think it was later, either late that night or the next day, that was promptly handled. Appropriate.
Okay.
Any other member of the public wish to be heard?
I just have one before you,
I want to make sure everybody else has a shot, and
okay.
I'll give you another one. All right, you. Floor is yours.
I just want to make it real clear. The title and the definition of the town water superintendent is clearly defined in the town code. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, so I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All right, any opposed?
She was in such a
okay.